praise. Amen. It's time for me to start the series. You probably don't want me to carry on there. Woo! I'm about to get preach myself excited here. All right. Hey, great news for everybody. We're starting a new series next week. Boy, I hear the applause all the way through the camera. And I know this is like 11 sermons on this, but this subject's very, very important to me. It's been part of my growth, been a part of my life, something the Lord showed me as a teenager. And I actually didn't have, I've had some great teachers in my life, but I didn't have a great teacher to teach me this. This is something the Lord taught me personally way back then, and I've been practicing it. And you'd think I'd be further along in that. I'm not always the fastest learner, but I want to tell you something. This is powerful, and this will affect your life. I've seen it affect my life in great ways. I've seen it affect a lot of people in great ways, and I want to tell you it'll affect your life, but you got to practice it. This is not something that a pastor can do for you. This is something about your journey between you and the Lord. But if you will put this into practice, I'm going to try to wrap this up today so that even if this is the first message that you listen to in this series, I want you to capture it. As a matter of fact, I hope it'll encourage you to go back and listen to some of the other messages in this because God has this in mind for you. And I know a lot of times we think that God didn't do a good job with us. Well, I want to tell you something. God didn't make a mistake with you. All right? You're very, very important to the Lord. He did a great job on you. And He has a supreme, royal, heavenly purpose for your life here on earth. And He wants to fulfill it in you. He designed you for success and victory. He never made a loser. I don't care what the enemy's told you. I don't care maybe even what your family may have said. I don't care what people have told you. God didn't make a loser. He did a great job on you. And if you've received Christ, He's made a great deposit in you of the very Spirit of Christ. And He's our champion. He's our winner. He's in you. And so because of that, you can be all that God wants you to be. He paid for the much more on the cross. He paid for the much more than what we're walking in. I want to tell you, I pray the Holy Spirit's whispering inside of you and saying, yeah, that's true. Now, you may not know what all it's about yet, but I want to tell you, this is a truth. There's a whole lot more that God has for us than what we're walking in. And part of the great adventure of the Jesus life is getting to know Him better and getting to know His Word and for Holy Spirit to show us the promises in the Word of God that Jesus paid for it, and it's got our name on it. It's got your picture beside it. It's yours. And He wants to show us and teach us how that by love, His love life, His hope, and His faith, I want to tell you, we can practice that combination lock to unlock the very beautiful treasures that the Lord has for our life while we're here on earth. I know it's going to be great in heaven, but He also paid for us to have abundant life right here. Now, I know you've been listening for a while. You already know that that's the fact, but we've got to experientially know it for ourselves. It's not enough that Pastor Justin or Pastor Tony or Miss Caitlin know this. It's not enough that they know it. It's good for them to know it, but you got to know it. You see, it's got to be a personal, experiential knowledge for you. And the Holy Spirit has been given to you to help you walk and learn and walk in this. It's not hidden from you, it's hidden for you. And all the people said, amen. All right, when God turned over the leadership of the children of Israel to Joshua, Moses' protege, God instructed Joshua on the key ingredient for his success. And so let me go ahead and announce, this is the key ingredient for your success also. Are you interested in God's success in your life? This is how to walk in it. It's how to walk in it. What He told Joshua and the people of Israel is true for you and the people of God today. All right, this is one of the ways of God. Maybe if you've heard teachers respond to how that Moses knew the ways of God. Now, the children of Israel just saw the works of God, but Moses knew His ways. I want to tell you, God designed you to know His ways. And you can know His ways. And He wants to reveal this way, this principle of how He operates. He wants to reveal this to you because He wants you to walk in it. He wants you to know Him and know His ways. Okay, Joshua 1:8. The book of the law, this book of the law, we could say the Word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Do you see that? Now, see, that's more than just a little quiet time in the morning or a little devotional. Okay, this is meditating on it. You'll chew on it. You'll muse on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that's written in it. Now, see, when you meditate on the Word of God, something happens on the inside of you, because the Word of God is powerful. It's so much greater than any book or any newspaper or magazine. These words are the words of God. Bible makes it clear. John said, Jesus is the Word. And so I'm telling you, it's very powerful for you to chew on the Word and meditate on the Word day and night, because great grace comes to you when you meditate on the Word of God. Great grace. We know, according to the Bible, that when we humble ourselves, great grace comes. I want to tell you, when you humble yourself to chew on the Word of God, to meditate on the Word of God, great grace is released in you. Let me tell you how it shows up, what it looks like, so you'll recognize it. You're in the Word of God. You're meditating on God and His Word. And I want to tell you, you start to experience grace. Grace shows up as desire. Godly desire. You know, you've had desire for wrong things, but now, because you're in the Word, there's a release in you. It's grace showing up in you that you have godly desire that you didn't have before. That's God. That's not something you cranked up. That's not an emotion. Godly desire. Godly power. You start experiencing an authority and a power in the Lord that's being manifested in your life. And you say things and you recognize things. You know, I used to talk a certain way and now I talk different. When did that happen? I want to tell you, it's grace being manifested because you're in the Word. Grace comes and is manifested as power. Also, grace is manifested as His presence. You know what you become more aware of as you're meditating on God and His Word? You become more aware of His presence. Let me announce to you how this shows up. You have an awareness of His presence that you didn't have before. And so I'm telling you, and I'm going to go ahead and just share this with you. I don't know if you've thought about it, but it hit me even during this series that, you know, the Word of God, the words of God they had to meditate on was very little compared to what all we have. And so you stop and think about what they were meditating on as far as the laws in the Scripture, and I want to tell you, it doesn't look like it's very deep water. But I want to tell you, God honors His Word. He has put His Word in great authority. And when you take His Word, even the parts that don't seem like they're very deep, when you begin to meditate on God and His Word, I want to tell you, He ignites grace. He ignites grace. And you find yourself experiencing His presence and His power and His desire. And it's an enabling power. It's power you didn't have on your own. It's enabling power. And it causes you to be what God wants you to be and do what God wants you to do. And it's because this is the way of God to manifest the kingdom of God in your life. And it shows up, you shall make your way prosperous. And you shall deal wisely. Why? Because you're receiving wisdom. Your ears and eyes are open to the Lord. And you can see the yeses of God and the direction of God. And you deal wisely. And you know what? You have good success in your life. Is anyone interested in that? Well, meditation of God's Word was the key to receiving from God and living out God's success. And it still is. Let me encourage everyone. This was not a suggestion. You see, we tend to take it and look at it like, well, that's a nice idea. Well, that's just such a sweet idea. Yeah, that would be such a nice thing to do. No. See, you're viewing this wrong. It's not a suggestion. God didn't make it an option. We do. God didn't make it an option. It was commanded. You understand the word command? It's because He wants His best for you. He wants to release His blessing and His love life. He wants you to be aware of His presence and His power. Hey, He wants you to know His fresh touch of desire on your heart, because our heart needs it in a continual basis. And He says, this is a way to receive. One of the ways He's designed for us to receive. And it wasn't just for Joshua and the leadership, it was for all the people of God. I know that because it's for all of the people of God today. It's not just for leadership. Leadership should be. Now, I want to tell you, I am requesting all leadership to be in the Word of God. And I've had some people kind of whisper, now, you know, should you really? No, wait. Just back up the truck a little bit. Does a parent have the right to expect their kids to eat? What? Does a parent have the right to expect the authority to expect their kids to drink? Oh, absolutely right. Drink water. Hydrate. They eat fuel. Okay? You better believe it. And if that kid were to refuse and shut down and not participate, you got the authority to make things change for their best interest, for their health, for their future. All right, for family life. Are you with me? Well, I want to tell you it's the same way. I want to tell you every Christian is supposed to have that natural hunger and thirst for God on a continual basis. And I want to tell you, if we don't have that, something's wrong. By all means, leadership, okay, should be walking in the Word, should be eating the Word. And all the people said, now, see there, thanks for agreeing with me on that. It's a spiritual principle that God's put in place. This is how the kingdom of God operates. It's one of the ways of God. We saw that with Abraham. I preached a whole sermon on this. Abraham meditated on the picture God gave him. He told Abraham, look at the stars. This is your word of hope. Look at the stars. And when you see all the many stars, this is going to be your heritage. Genesis 15:5, and he brought him outside the tent. His tent to the starlight and said, look now toward the heavens and count the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to them, this so shall your descendants be. So God gave him a picture to meditate on that was a word of hope for his future. God wants to do that with you. Many people need a word of hope right now. And I want to tell you, you focus on God and his word, he'll give you a picture on the big screen of your heart. This is what happens when you meditate on the Lord and the word. Isaac, his son, as an adult, went out to meditate just before dusk at sunset. I think it was probably a pattern. This is Tim talk. I haven't talked to Isaac about this, but I'm telling you, some of the teens think me and Isaac hung out. Okay, no, I'm not that old. But I'm here to tell you something, okay? Listen, I think it was a pattern he picked up from his dad. Some of the things that we pass on to our kids are more caught than taught, by the way. And let me say it to you like this. I think he went out sunrise and sunset. I like to. And I want to tell you something. I think his dad did this. He saw his dad. He did it. But I want to tell you, you see something happen here. This was a custom, I think, that was handed down by his father Abraham. Genesis 24:63. And Isaac went out to meditate and bow down in prayer in the open country in the evening. And he looked up. Now remember that term in Mark, it looked up. I shared with this in a sermon in this series that term looked up, you see, all through Scripture, and it's an expression of meditation. And he saw that, behold, the camels were coming. Well, I want to tell you, we see results when we practice meditating. King David meditated on God's Word. In the book of Psalm, David writes Psalm 77:6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. Now, you know, you are in good shape. I know I'm in good shape when I wake up during the night and I have a song, love song toward the Lord on my heart, and I'm singing it as I wake up. Sometimes when I wake up preaching, you know. Okay? I dream about miracles. Okay? That's okay, isn't it? But I want to tell you something. This is something that he says, and I want to tell you it's very, very important that when we're expressing loving on the Lord, even through the night watch, then I want to tell you, this honors the Lord and he honors us. He says, with my heart I meditate and my spirit searches diligently. All right, you see, that's an expression of his life. Psalm 119:148, my eyes anticipate the night watches. Do you see that? My eyes anticipate the night watches. Now, what we pray is that we won't wake up. Okay, we wake up, we're disappointed. I'll tell you where he was, hungry and thirsty for the Lord. Lord, during the night, I wake up, I'm excited about hearing you. I'm excited about seeing you. even before the cry of the watchman, which means early, okay, that I may meditate on your word. Do you see that? Hey, this is David. This can be you. You can put your name right here. All right? And I want to tell you, I know we grow in it. I know we develop it. But that's what happens when we meditate on God and the Word. Grace comes, and He gives us more godly desire. You want that, you can have it. For David, meditation was a time of fellowship with the Lord. That's what we're to make it. Let it be a continual love life, prayer life, meditating before the Lord, where you meditate on Him, you enjoy His fellowship, you make it a time of worship, a time of praise, and you allow the presence of God to manifest. You enjoy the Lord even through the night watches. All right, I got to admit, sometimes the enemy wakes me up at night. Okay, but I want to tell you how to kick the enemy in the teeth. You get up and start meditating on the Word. And I want to tell you, he hightail it. He can't stand that. You begin to praise and worship the Lord. He's allergic to praise. We did a series on that. He's allergic to praise. He'll hightail it. Okay? And I want to tell you, it's very, very exciting. Sometimes the Lord wakes me up because He's speaking to me and loving on me, and I need to get up and I need to record what He's saying and what He's doing because we need to be a good steward. I can't tell you how many times I've messed up by saying, "Oh, Lord, that was so good. It's so simple. I'll write that down in the morning," and you can lose treasure that way. Okay, but I'm here to tell you, wasn't too long ago that I was up during the middle of the night, and man, it just flowing. You know, I just enjoyed the Lord. And it come daybreak, and the beautiful little blonde gets up, and she comes in there, and she says, "I know you've been up most of the night." She's kind of trying to get on to me a little bit, you know, because she cares for my health. I said, "Let me tell you something. I've had such a great time in the Lord. I've covered more ground. I've worked more already, okay, than most people will when they get to work in another hour or two. And I've had a blast because it was an enriching time." Do you see what I'm talking about? Do you think David knew something about that? I do. This is our heart. When we meditate on God and His Word, we are making a diligent search. And when you seek the Lord, you find Him. This is our heart asking, seeking, knocking for wisdom, guidance, answers, new discoveries by seeking Him and focusing on Him. Listen to what David said. "I will earnestly recall the deeds of the Lord." Do you remember the series on the Blessings Journal? This is where this comes in mind. "I will earnestly recall the deeds, the works of the Lord in my life." Yes, I will earnestly. Do you see that? On purpose. "Remember the wonders you performed of our fathers of old. I will meditate also upon your works and consider all your mighty deeds." I want to tell you, when you meditate, and this is what this series we've tried to teach you, you meditate on God in His Word, you meditate on God in His works, and the Holy Spirit shows you who He is. And when you see who He is, you get revelation. How exciting this is. To muse means to meditate, ponder, reflect. When the Scriptures say, and you see this in Psalm 77, 11 and 12, it says, "I will, I will." Everybody say, "I will." When you see an "I will" like that, it means that you have a decision to make. The choice is yours. Let me speak to your heart. How much do you want to know Him? Do you want to know? As Paul said, should be our goal, our center in life. Do you want to know Him and to know deeper depths of His love? How much kingdom fruit do you want in your life? How much do you want to see His promises in the abundant life of Jesus in this life? How much victory do you want to walk in before heaven? How much harvest do you want to bring to Jesus? How much glory and praise do you want to bring Him? How much kingdom legacy do you want to leave to your children and your children's children? The choice is yours. The Scripture is very, very clear, counsels us to choose the Word of God and believe what it says versus what the world says. We're to have an allegiance to the Word of God that's greater than to the world. Biblical meditations designed to renew your mind. That's what the Bible means, to renew your mind. To expand your capacity to receive the promises of God in this life. You see, it's not an earning. I know sometimes when I teach this, people get the idea, well, if you do this, God has to do that. No, no, it's not a do this to get that. It's a positioning of your heart. You meditate on God in the Word to position your heart. And the way I explain that is that, you know, there's all kind of airwaves going through the wherever you are right now, all kind of airwaves. And Patrick back there has the equipment to tune in to different airwaves, and we could receive them. And so I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is like that. There's a spiritual world around us, and the kingdom of God is operating around us. And meditating on God and His Word positions our heart to tune in. Somebody say, tune in to the very channel of the Lord ministering and speaking and loving and blessing and wisdom, healing. Come on. And He wants us to know that. Okay? It's for us. God wants to bless us. Position your heart to receive. It tunes in. You see, the Bible says that we have eyes in the heart, ears in the heart, spiritual eyes and ears. And when we receive Christ, we get our spiritual eyes and ears. But they have to be tuned in to the channel, the Jesus channel. And it will do this for you if you practice it. If the seed remains on the shelf, and what I want to say, if this precious seed of incorruptible seed, if it stays on the shelf, no harvest. If you take this precious seed and you plant it in the soil of your heart, it would take a miracle in reverse for it not to produce the kingdom of God. Man, that's exciting. That's the promises of God. Okay, I'm moving right along. I'm going to have to skip a little bit. I've preached sermons on that part, though, about Peter and how that revelation brings revolution. And so meditation on God and His Word will bring revelation of Him. And revelation does bring revolution. I tell people and I tell the saints, keep it simple, saints. When you're in the Word, seek Him. People can miss by seeking particular information. I had a pastor tell me, and I love this pastor, but he told me, he said, the only time I'm in the Word of God is to prove something. To prove a doctrine. I said, Bubba, you're missing out on so much. Okay, you're living on starving ground when you could be flourishing. You're surviving when you could be thriving. And there's just a whole lot more too. When you're in the Word, seek Him. The Holy Spirit loves to reveal Him to you. Focus on what He says plus what He does. It's like an equation, and I don't like to use that word, but if you focus on what He says and you focus on what He does, the Holy Spirit reveals who He is. You'll know who He is. And you'll find that God's no respecter of persons. It's not just for pastors. It's not for those that have gone to seminary or Bible school. It's for you. And the Holy Spirit knows how to talk your language right where you are. And He knows how to give pictures in your heart. And He knows how to speak your language. Well, we're going to do a sermon on that too. This is how you renew your mind. You reprogram. The computer's got to be reprogrammed. See, when you received Christ, your spirit became complete. I mean, your spirit became perfect. I mean, Jesus came, ignited with your spirit. And I want to tell you something. You have a perfect spirit. Your spirit is saved. Your spirit is complete in Jesus. But your mind's not. Your soul's not. And we're supposed to win our soul. We need to reprogram our mind. And this is how we do this. Okay? We got to reprogram our mind from the old world's way to God's way. And meditation helps you see Jesus and what He's up to in your life. Do you know what God's doing in your life? Do you know what God wants you to do? Meditation on God and His Word, the Holy Spirit will show you. May not be every detail, but He'll show you direction. He'll show you purpose. See, He's all about purpose because He wants you to cooperate and submit and cooperate and participate. He loves participation. You can hear God so much better. When you meditate on God and His Word, you can even hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit in your life. It brings you to a higher level of sensitivity in the spiritual realm. A greater awareness of kingdom life versus the world life. You can't see it. You can't see the promises of God in the physical life until you see it in the spiritual life. You got to see it in your heart first. If you don't see it here, you won't see it here. And so this is why this is so important, because we operate out of the spiritual realm. God's given you a picture. He shows us how he sees us. And he does this in the Word. And listen to me. It's very, very important that our identification of ourselves, that we see ourselves as God sees us. And when you do see how God sees you, see, your physical mind will say, well, that's not me. I know how I messed up. I know my weakness. But I want to tell you, this is how God sees you, how he sees you in Christ. And we can't change our perspective of our position. We can't change our practice of our position until we change our perspective of our position. Do you understand that? We got to see how God sees us before we can receive grace, love, hope, and faith to operate how he sees us. Does that make any sense? Did I go too far? Okay, Psalm 1:3 shows us how God sees us. And he should be like a tree firmly planted. Now, I want to tell you something, man. Through the Snowmageddon that we experienced this year, there's trees that's been here for decades that are gone. All right? I want to tell you what God says. You'll be a tree firmly planted. And tended. That means continual ministry. By streams of water. Now, when you're planted by the Lord, means that there's a plan for you, and you're tended by the water. In other words, you're receiving that encouraging, that continual enriching of the water of life from the river of life. That's Jesus himself. That's so exciting. That's the picture of the Word of God. And you'll be ready, ever ready. You know I like that word, ever ready, to bring forth its fruit in its season. Now, I want to tell you something. That's good news. Because that speaks of what we've been talking about success in this life. That speaks of abundant life in this life before you go to heaven. And its leaf shall not fade or wither. Shall not fade or wither. All right? I want to tell you, it doesn't mean that dry seasons don't come. Dry seasons come to even those that love the Lord the most. And so it's not a sign that something bad's happening or they've done something wrong. It's a sign that we live in a fallen world and we have enemy. But I'm telling you what the Word of God says, when our roots are in the water of the Word of God, it says this, that our leaf shall not fade or wither. Hey, we'll be continual. We'll be steadfast. We won't be tossed around by the Snowmageddon or the wind. Everything he does shall prosper. Does that sound like success to you? I want to tell you, you got to meditate on God in his Word till you see him as the gardener of your life, firmly planting you, fully blessing you, fully protecting you, fully blessing you, and till you see him, and then you'll see yourself in him. Your identity will be Christ. And you'll see yourself as verse 3. But the way to be verse 3 is to practice verse 2. His delight and desires in the Word of God. And in his Word, the precepts, instructions, and teachings of God, he habitually meditates. Does that sound familiar? My. Here we are again. He habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. Somebody say amen. And when you practice verse 2, you'll be verse 3. It's something God does in you. You don't do it yourself. God does it. You practice verse 2, you'll be verse 3, and you will not have any problem with the battle of verse 1. You understand? When you're in the strength of the Lord and the flow of his life, then the struggles of verse 1 will not be a struggle for you. It's easy to say no when you're saying yes. You practice the yeses of the Bible, the no's will not be a problem. Amen, Brother Tim. So God wants your thoughts to be in agreement with his thoughts. And that's what his Word is. When you meditate, you are actually planting word seed into your heart that will grow. You will see the harvest. Let me tell you something about your heart. You will see the harvest of whatever seed you sow. Whatever seed you sow. Weed seed is what's going to grow. If it's incorruptible seed of the Word of God, that's what's going to grow. good or bad, true or not true, what you plant is what you're going to reap. Oh, my, my, my. What you believe, and I say that word believe, I have out there to explain what you give your allegiance to in your heart will always become your reality. Man, that is a powerful statement right there. Let me just say it one more time. What you believe, what you give allegiance to in your heart will always become your reality. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, as a man thinks in his heart, boy, we challenged men today. I want to say this, as a woman thinks in her heart, that's the way they really are. Now it gives an example in Proverbs 23:7, as one who reckons and he says to you, eat, drink, yet his heart's not with you, but it's grudging the cost. You may not understand that. Let me just tell you like this. Jesus said it, people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Hey, whatever's in the heart's the real. You understand as well as I do that people can say things that it's not real to them. It gives the example of sitting down to eat and someone saying, eat up, enjoy, and all at the same time they're counting everything you eat. Oh my, that cost me. Okay, I'll give you an example of that. This comes from deep country. This comes from East Texas. I'll never forget, it was a custom. I'm tickled about it, okay? I enjoyed it growing up. But even as a little kid, I would watch and listen to people in East Texas. That company would come over, and they'd come over and visit, and they'd say stuff like this. They'd get up to leave, and they'd say, oh, y'all don't run off. Y'all stick around now. Y'all, as a matter of fact, y'all can stay the night. Y'all just stay around. It ain't no sense in leaving right now. Y'all just stick around here. We just having a good time. And then the people get in the vehicle and they start down the driveway. And I've heard people say in East Texas, my God, what's wrong with them people? I didn't think they would ever leave. you know I enjoy that. I got memories. Hey, it's not the show on the outside. The real is the thoughts on the inside. Jesus knows the heart. God looks at the heart. Well, let me give you some prompting here, and hopefully this will help you. And especially if you haven't watched any of the series or listened to it, I encourage you to do so, but this will help you right here. Number one, here's how to get started, okay? Number one, focus on what he says and what he does, and you'll know who he is. That's because the Holy Spirit reveals. And this is part of the ways of God. This is the way of God. Number two, meditation. Meditate on Jesus. See, this, we're not saying the world is a copycat. The powers of darkness are copycats to the destruction. And the world or the enemy will say, empty your mind. Don't empty your mind. You need every part of that you got. But if you empty your mind, something else is going to fill it. And you don't know what it is going to be. And so I'm telling you the way biblical meditation is, and God's the one who invented it. He knows what's going on here. But he says, hey, we're to meditate on Jesus. We're to see Jesus. All right? Don't meditate on the fuzz in the navel or anything like that. That's not going to produce life. That'll produce death and depression, I'm sure. Meditate on Jesus. And we have this little saying where we say, seek him till you see him. And I don't mean that in some kind of spooky term. I mean that if you seek the Lord with your heart, he wants you to know him. He will reveal himself to you. The Holy Spirit brings hope through pictures in your imagination room. Or he brings you a word of hope. Sometimes it's a word of hope that comes from the word. The logos becomes rhema. And what that means, it goes from written word to personal word with your name on it. The Holy Spirit will help you. You have a helper. You don't have to figure all this out by yourself. If you just absolutely take a step that direction, the Holy Spirit will help you. He's excited about revealing spiritual truths and insight and revelation to you. Hope and faith comes as you meditate, and it sparks toward the promise of God for what God's doing in your life. It becomes very personal. It becomes an adventure. This becomes an exciting journey. Number three is visualization. And I've gotten in trouble with this a few decades ago. People became very critical of it, but the way I try to explain it, and I actually backed off. I repent of that. I actually backed off on the teaching because of criticism. But you know what? I'm at the place in my life. Spiritual authority is what I want to say. Confidence in Jesus, I want to say that I really don't give a spiritual, trying to make it spiritual, a spiritual flying rip about the criticism. All right, this may be my last track round around the track. I'm going to try to present truth. I want to minister life to you. And it's okay. It's just okay. Amen. If people don't agree. I just tell them, keep listening. You'll find something you agree with later. Okay? Visualization. And what I'll say about this, God created you with an imagination room. We know that. God created you with an imagination room. And it's for kingdom purposes. I know we don't have to be taught how to use it for evil. But I'm here to tell you, God gave it to you as a gift to use for kingdom purposes. You have it as imagination. We think in pictures. Okay? Imagine means to ponder, to muse, to speak over and over. And it's the same description, really, as meditation, where you muse over and over until you see the promise or the desire of God for you with your name on it. What I mean by your name on it is that you got to come to a place where that you own it. Man, I hope you understand that. Where it goes from being on the page to in your heart, and it goes from being in your heart to your stamp on it. Because God paid the price for you to have that and for you to walk in that. And it needs to be personal. You can clap all day long that one of the pastors or some of the saints are walking in it, and you praise God and give God thanks. But, you know, He wants it to be personal for you. You got to see the victory for you. The actualization part, and that's where that hope is there. And faith kicks in. You don't have to work up faith. It's from Jesus anyway. But faith kicks in when you've been experiencing the love and the hope of the Lord. I'm telling you, faith kicks in and you begin to seek it, you begin to see it, you begin to speak it. Boy, we're going to do a sermon on that next Sunday, I think. But about speaking the Word of God, the authority of the Word of God, by stepping out of the boat. I'm telling you, everybody wants to walk on water. But who's going to get out of the boat? I'm telling you, God has this for you. God wants this for you. So to speak out, to step out. In other words, you put some action to it. We try to tell people, anytime you hear God speak, you need to respond in some form. You see, faith is that, it's not some big mystery thing. Faith is really just saying, I agree with God. It's saying yes to God. It's our inside yes to what He's showing and saying. And so anytime you hear the Lord whisper to you, speak to you, or to show you, you need to write it down, you need to speak it out, you need to tell somebody, you need to act it out in some way. Do something with it. Don't just sit there and say, so be it, and not put any action to it. Well, all right. Maybe we'll do a little more on that someday. And the last part is the manifestation part, and I want to speak to this because and yes, I have time to do this, but it goes like this. God does it. The manifestation is God's part, not your part. So take the pressure off. I'm telling you, God does that. Sometimes it's immediate. Well, that's fun, isn't it? In some ways, I'd probably say that's probably the perfect will of God. But we don't always walk in the perfect will of God. It's not always immediate. I want to tell you, a lot of the healing that we see, especially with folk receiving communion and touching the Lord with communion, a lot of times it's a progressive healing. There's nothing wrong with progressive healing. There's a whole lot right with it. You're better off. We celebrate progress. Amen? And so your part is to practice resting in the Lord, practice believing, practice receiving. Okay? His love life, His hope, His faith, it comes meditating on the Lord, believing, resting, speaking it. That's our part. God's part is to make it manifest. And until the manifestation takes place, we're to be in the place of believing, guarding our heart and meditating on the Lord, speaking His promises, standing on His promises, until the manifestation does take place. That's our part. You know, it's perseverance with things. If it's a person in your life, well, perseverance for things you're believing for, patience with people. How's that?
Amen.
Amen. But I want to tell you, it's the Lord that changes people. We don't change the people.
Amen.
God changes people. Well, we learn that, it'll change our life too. But until we get to see on the outside what you already see on the inside, let's persevere and let's practice patience. Now, let me give you a living example that you know. One of our young ministers here, Patrick, that everybody knows here, has been on a healing journey for a pretty long time. A decade, more than a decade? Yeah. Well, I want to tell you something. He's made a lot of progress. You know what? He is doing things now that doctors said he would never do. And I want to tell you something. That's God. Did it happen overnight? No. Is the journey over? No. But I want to present some hope to you. Because when we practice believing, God's part is the manifestation to His honor and glory. And He's promised to work it out for our good and His glory. So it's not over yet. But let me tell you something. There was a period of time in Patrick's life where we were celebrating 30% fold. 30% fold progress. That was amazing. Now we're at the place of celebrating 60% fold. I want to tell you, we got a lot to celebrate. And I want to tell you something. Listen, listen, listen. Soon and very soon. 30, 60, come on, say it. 100-fold. You know what it is? It's our journey. And I want to tell you, I know a lot of people sometimes, because they think human reasoning, that the goal line is the healing, or the goal line is the financial breakthrough, or the goal line is a restored relationship. I want to just announce something to you. Heaven sees victory in a different way than the world does. The world wants to mark a goal line. I want to announce something to you. With Jesus, it's relationship. Okay, He wants to be actively involved in even the little details, but He wants to be interactively involved in the journey of your life. And I'm sharing with you that if you'll get your focus off the goal line and get it on Him, you're going to be fulfilled in the journey. And so I'm announcing to you, as a believer, your destination is the journey. Your destination is the journey with Him. Enjoy Him. Enjoy your journey with Him. And He will bring you to the place where He wants you to be, at the time He wants you to be, in the fulfillment He wants you to bring honor and glory to Him. That's God's part. Our part is to follow the shepherd. And I want to tell you, in the process, I know there's bumps in the journey. I know this fallen world, there's disappointments in the journey. But I want to tell you something. You get your focus off yourself, because that makes a very tiny package. Get your focus off yourself. You're going to be depressed if you focus off yourself, on yourself. Get your focus off other people. Other people are not the answer. God uses people. Okay, but I want to tell you, other people are not the answer. You focus on people, you're going to be offended. I want to tell you, you got to focus on Jesus. That's what meditation is. It's focusing on Jesus in the Word. When you focus on Jesus, you're going to be fulfilled. And I want to tell you, when you're fulfilled here, the stuff out here doesn't have near the effect that it does on other people. Because you're walking in the fulfillment, the peace, the joy, the love, the hope, the faith. And I want to tell you, you know, I had someone challenge me in the past, you know, well, what if it never happens? I want to tell you, I'm not going there, number one. But number two, I'll tell you it like this. If it did never happen, you're going to be a celebrated believer in the journey. You're going to be a heaven of a lot better off. Because you're going to walk in the joy and the peace and the love of the Lord in this journey. And I want to tell you, God has this for you. This is something that all of us can do. We can practice being at His feet, focusing on God and the Word, and letting Jesus manifest His life to us. He wants so much more than we want to receive. He wants to bless us, and He wants to give. He loves the joy of seeing us receive. This brings great joy to Him. The Holy Spirit's very active in helping us with the Word. He's a very present help, even in seasons of trouble. He's a very present help. He will direct your thoughts even to the Scripture to meditate on. It's so amazing how He does this. Seek Him till you see Him. Let me encourage you. He said, "My sheep know My voice." God will paint that picture in your imagination room of what He's doing. And this will give you divine purpose. I want to tell you, you're so much better off when you have divine purpose. When you realize why you're here and what God's doing and what He wants to do, it gives you such purpose. I get tickled at the way we are as humans that, you know, sometimes the drudgery of the day gets to us. But I want to tell you, you put a little mark on the calendar, vacation. What does that do for you? Woohoo! I'm telling you, it's a tough week, but vacation's coming. Huh? Hey, I want to tell you, as believers, we're not even instructed to look toward death. We're not. Okay? There's not much positive you're going to get out of focusing on death. I'll tell you what we are told to focus on. That's His soon coming. I want to tell you, that's better than vacation. It's better in vacation when you realize and recognize and practice remembering soon and very soon, I'm going to get to see the King. This could be the day of His return. And I want to tell you, it's better than putting vacation on the calendar. And all the people said. Well, let the Lord personalize this journey with you. He wants your Christianity to be a relationship. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with Him. And you don't have to live the way others live because you have Him. You don't have to live through other people's testimonies. I know a lot of Christians, you know, and when they get excited about the Lord, it's always what God's doing with someone else. God wants to do something with you. Okay? We're to enjoy each other and exhort one another. But God wants to give you fresh testimony. He wants to give you vision. He wants your fellowship with Him to be personal. Let's receive what Jesus paid for, because this brings a modern glory. Let's all say amen. Amen. Okay, that's all I got today. I love you so much. And we're going to start a new series next week. Live in Living Color. I love you. God bless you.